In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Way to go, Stan.
Thank you, John. Not a bad shot for an old-timer like me.
Blub, blub, blub.
Sending that boat and that beagle down to the bottom with the evolutionary theory of Charles Darwin. I'm Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski. Welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation. Lighthearted, because that's the fun way of doing it. We kind of like to see ourselves as the click and the clack of evolutionary theory.
I'm making a lot of noise, anyway.
And once in a while, a little bit of sense.
Oh, that would
hopefully.
Be good.
Mm-hmm. Today, we're going to talk about some things that just really, really bug us. Dan.
Really bug us. What bugs you, John?
Oh, cockroaches. And idiot people who want to say that cockroaches are going to inherit the earth because they're not.
Well, I don't know. If you go down to the south, they already have a good start down there.
I killed one down there when I was down there a few weeks ago.
Oh, you did?
Yes, yes. He was crawling across my sister-in-law's kitchen. She would have horrified if I let her know that she had cockroaches in her kitchen, but it's probably nothing new.
Took a baseball bat to it, did you?
I took more than a baseball bat to kill those cockroaches. They're pretty tough down there.
Well, you know, bugs may bug us like cockroaches, but actually bugs really bug evolutionists.
In what way?
Because there's precious little evidence of evolution in the fossil record of bugs.
You think you would find some. Actually, when you look at it, a lot of bugs, you know where you find a lot of them, are way down deep, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to near the beginning. In fact, all the way down to the Cambrian.
Early Cambrian, they found fossilized bugs.
Bugs.
Were the bugs just little simple little kind of globs? Or
no, they're bugs. I mean, you take a look at it and you and I would immediately say, now that's a bug.
That's a fossilized bug. It has wings, it has eyes, it has legs. I mean, it has all these components that would normally take, we'd think, millions of evolutionary years to evolve. They're already there, like Shazam, pow, we have already complexity in the early Cambrian layer.
And these kind of issues, of course, and as you listen to Sink the Beagles from week to week, you'll note that evolution has difficulty in the fossil record through almost all species. But in particular, the two areas I think we've cited the most would be plant evolution and now bug evolution is a new one that we're presenting to you today. That there's not any evidence, and I have to say that, there's no evidence of evolution among bugs.
There's actually more theories than there is evidence.
Well, when you don't have evidence, what happens?
Well, you know what they do? It's been common thought that paleontologists pull out their most useful tool in their studies. It's called speculation.
Speculation, we know that area.
Followed up with opinion.
Oh, we know that area too.
When you don't have evidence, you start speculating and throwing out opinions of what you think could be or should be or might be because there's nothing to support it, and you got to find out how we can make it make sense in our evolutionary model, because it should be that if you can't explain it, if it doesn't fit in the model, maybe the model's not a worthy model to even consider.
And they don't want to deal with that. So it's still, for evolutionists, it's still, how can we explain evolution from the data? Not, can we come up with a better model?
Well, one of the things, Stan, they'd like to talk about, and we're going to throw out a few big words. Are you ready, folks?
Oh, cool, I love them.
Oh, big words. Some theories revolve around the idea of our bugs sort of monophyletic or polyphyletic.
Well, now, what does mono and polyphyletic mean?
Well, mono means a one. And a poly means a many.
Many.
And phyla or tree. Many, many origin starts or one. Are we having a single ancestor to all bugs or bugs in general? Are we all evolved from a single cell and eventually we get the bug area? Or are there many others?
Now, this whole issue has been a problem for people as large as Stephen Jay Gould, the very eminent Harvard paleontologist.
Harvard.
Harvard. who, if anybody was the Pope of evolution up until his recent parting. He suggested that the fossil record did not support pure Darwinian evolution, as Darwin said. That is, minute little changes over time. The fossil record doesn't show that.
That's why he went with hiccups in evolution, otherwise known as punctuated equilibrium.
Punctuated equilibrium, which means
species.
Suddenly a brand new animal out of nowhere, virtually.
There's another one.
And that's why... What have you been drinking? But what some of us might have said when we heard that first presented. The idea is that evolution happens through hiccups, through big changes over a short period of time. It's not biologically explainable, but it does fit the fossil record better in Stephen Jay Gould's view. And if you think of it that way, then he would have a little less trouble with the fact that there is no evolutionary data, pre-bug, half-bug.
It dies, and all you get is the final product data, not the transitional data.
So polyphyletic,
or beginning data.
So polyphyletic, which means many trees, is really another way of saying, you know, there's so many different kinds of animals at the very bottom of the fossil record. Maybe they all started separately from the other. They didn't have a common ancestor, but literally came up as separate trees, separate miracles, just kind of growing from wherever they were. Like plants were one, and maybe bugs were one, and maybe fish were another, and all these different kind of critters came up as different trees.
Shazam!
Multiple miracles taking place out of the rocks of the earth.
You know, and they like to point at it like each type of bug has its own little private evolutionary theory, whether it be some come from, they think, segmented nematodes, otherwise known as earthworms.
Oh, we love segmented nematodes. One of John's favorite, I think.
I like mine with a little bit of salt
and pepper. No. There's others that think that maybe insects, the class Insecta, came from some sort of an ancient millipede or something. Others, our good friend, the trilobites.
That little creature from the sea.
That little critter. That is now extinct, you know, but trilobites may have been the first bug.
Yeah, but the irony is that trilobites were already quite complex quite early, and they were a lot bigger. Some of them were just huge compared to bugs. I mean, if those were bugs, you know, we have a few large bugs today in the world in Africa, but nothing compares to some of the huge trilobites.
Several
that you
feet
could
long,
have.
Yeah. Yes. Well, how'd you like a several foot long bug?
Cockroach coming across.
Uh huh. And then others think maybe centipedes, and there's still other ideas as well.
Or others.
Yeah.
What is when you put all these together, what do we find lacking in the evolutionary arguments as far as their theories of animal or insect evolution?
Well, again, you always you go back to the original assumption that things start off simple and go to complex. And we never, ever see that in the fossil record in any line,
let alone bugs.
What's
lacking is the...
The simple. We don't find the simple and moving to the complex.
So what they're trying to get you to believe, then, is that the end product is there, therefore the simple must have been there.
Must have been there,
the
exactly. We haven't been lucky. It's been a bad day digging up rocks.
And so we've discovered the end product, but we're lacking all the evidence or evidentiary material to prove that their end product did happen this way.
Well, let's just think about it for a minute. Let's think of what the common class of bugs are, the flying bugs, the flying insects. The whole concept of an insect wing is a real, real difficult thing to explain from evolution, let alone bird wings and other wings, which are totally different mechanisms.
Different structures.
Oh, way different.
Way different, yeah.
But the insect wing is a complex, well-designed structure, and the insect's ability to fly, frankly, with those wings is really just now being studied and understood to see how they can get these little bodies off the ground with these wings. But there's like 30 wing muscles housed in the thorax of the more powerful muscles, and these they beat 200 times per second, typically, sometimes as much as 1,000 times per second. That's really whipping. And the idea, the concept of how in the world something like that would evolve from a land or a water based bug
to know it needed to fly, or the flying was advantageous. It developed muscle. What's first, the muscle, the 30 muscles, or the wing unit?
Exactly.
Or what and doesn't it
the
be
structures.
A hindrance? I mean, if you don't have the muscles, but you got the wing, that's definite disadvantage, especially for escaping from predators.
That's right. If you're trying to get away from the bigger bugs,
and you're dragging around a 20-pound wing, you know, so to speak. And
yeah, or a half wing, something that's on its way to a wing.
Yeah.
So the lack of fossil evidence has thus resulted in enormous speculation. Quote, here it is. No structure in the Arthropoda, an extensive group of animals, has given rise to such a variety of hypotheses about their origin as have insect wings. Interest in the more than 150-year-old theories of insect flight has not faded. So it's really the source of quite speculation.
I want to go again now and do, hang on, folks. This is going to be another in the series of evolutionary theory discoveries. Now I'm going to be an evolutionary scientist, and I'm going to be looking at, here I am looking at a wing.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Studying that
I'm
wing.
Speculating. Okay, speculation. Aha! This evolved this way. I'm going to write a book about it, and you're going to count it as good science.
That's good.
There we go.
And that's how it's
done.
That's
about how easy it's done.
Because you saw it
in action. You heard it in action. Speculation.
Where you're weak on evidence, you got to pick it up on speculation.
That's exactly right.
That's
what we like to do.
And, you know, even beyond just insect wings, the idea of a folding insect wing is even more difficult. And most insects have folding wings. Dragonflies don't. A few others don't. But most wings are folding on bugs, and that's not a simple structure.
Like a little ladybugs. The little old
aren't
cute.
They cute?
Aren't
yeah.
they cute? They mm-hmm. crawl around. By the way, they do bite. You know that?
They don't. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they do. They can bite. They can
you
bite.
You weren't kidding
nasty.
Me.
No. And they can also come in
so
real
thick.
So much
for me picking them up sometimes and looking.
They also
oh,
can stink. But anyway, that's a whole other story.
Well, but the evidence, there's no evidence for the evolution of wing folding ever in a fossil record. There's no. There's nothing. It just simply is there on bugs.
And the explanations, just like I say, are more speculation. They just confuse, they cloud. Like you say, when you have so many theories, 150 or so different ones, I mean, it's just...
Well, and you know, just to throw out a couple in our last couple of minutes here, John, the evolution of the insect compound eye. How in the world can something go from nothing or no eye to something as complex as you would think, again, there would be some kind of halfway eye and some kind of fossil evidence.
You throw it on. How about insect metamorphosis, Dan?
Ooh, like butterflies.
Like butterflies. Again, another conundrum for evolution. Excuse me, we've got about 10 here on the table, and you're trying to prove a point where this whole classification of fossil evidence and life forms totally defies the paradigm or that they want to try to press it into. I'm sorry, this you can't put through their strainer or into their this data into their theory make it work.
And you'd almost have to say that bugs really do bug evolutionists.
And that's what they do. If they would be smart, they would have discovered that there was someone who did give some good information. We have a torpedo text. They could have learned and saved themselves a whole lot of speculation if they were not so lazy in their thinking.
Well, the Bible says to study insects. In fact, Proverbs 6, written by the wisest man, Solomon, says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise.
In other words, you lazy people, go and learn about the industrious ant and its ways. And
learn from the insects.
Learn from the insects, too. You can learn something.
Yes, you can. And take it easy on the speculation, but just go with the Word of God, and you'll find that the data fits better.
That's always, the best way to go. Mm-hmm. And that's why we promote that on the Sink the Beagle. And when you really get down to it and look at it, all the credible evidence in the Cambrian later says all of a sudden, shazam, there's life.
Yeah.
Lots of life and multiple forms, multiple complexities, all of it. And when you start looking at that in that big picture, you can't help but say, didn't happen by accident, did it?
Well, you know, God must like bugs because he made over, we have at least 1 million species of insects now identified, over 1 million different kinds of bugs. When I look at a butterfly, though, you know, you really see a loving creator's hand there.
Boy, and the colorfulness, you know, just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So we invite you again to immerse yourself in the good story of the Bible and learn from its creator about the creation which he made. Tune in again for another Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.